Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Hey guys, today we have Jeannie McMillan, a.k.a. Carlos's girl, sitting in for Martha. So we hope today that you enjoy our podcast.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk. Today we have the pleasure of having Jack Henry and his lovely wife Teresa, and they're going to share their testimony with us. Welcome to Crosstalk.
Hey, how are you?
Hey guys.
How are we doing? Hallelujah. Hello.
Hallelujah. Thank you guys for having us on. We're really excited.
Praise God. So are we. Very excited.
Well, here. Uncle Bill's got our first question of the day for you guys, so here we go.
When and where did you get saved?
All righty. I'm going to go first on this one. So, again, want to thank you guys for having us on. You know, New Life is like our West Coast family. We love you guys. We always enjoy opportunities to minister together, whether it's in Phoenix or in Delaware or wherever it is we cross our paths. And thank you for having us on. So,
amen. We're glad to have
you. First question, like you said, when and where did I first get saved? I always tell people when I get asked this question, it's kind of a loaded question for me because I grew up in the church, and I joke around that I was all but born on the pew. And my mom and dad, they've got pictures of me when I was a child, and they tell me, you know, I said the sinner's prayer when I was in children's church, a very young age. And I remember getting baptized when I was very young. But for me, you know, it's like with everyone else, salvation is your true conversion, that moment when you really are converted into a life,
amen,
abandoning the world, amen, and committing a life to Christ. Amen. And that came for me, you know, later on in life, in my early teen years. I remember I was at a Church of God youth camp, believe it or not, and I was in service, and the Holy Spirit, I remember being very clear, the Holy Spirit actually spoke to me.
Amen.
And told me about the things that he was going to do and opportunities that he was putting before me in my life. And then and there is when I really felt that true conversion of I am committed my life to Jesus. And that was when I got saved. I was actually about 12 to 13 years old when that happened.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Teresa, we're going to throw the ball in your court now.
Similar. I grew up in church. I said the sinner's prayer in children's church. I imagine. I believe. I remember that day. I probably said it a bunch of times every children's church. And my mom was leading worship in the church. Uncle Billy and Aunt Peggy McKenzie were our pastor.
Amen.
And I was singing church and helping church. It's all the Christmas plays and everything. So I would believe I was saved, you know, probably from that. I believe I was saved, but when I got older and to be like a teenager, I would say I knew, like, I always try to explain it, like, I knew in my head, like, the Lord, but maybe not so much in my heart, you know what I mean? I always would pray through, like, when I got to be a teenager, and that, Lord, like, I know what in my head what the Bible says, and I know what's right, but if you're really real, show yourself to me. Like, you know, I just want you to show yourself to me. And I prayed that, still continued on serving the Lord, you know, as best as I could. But I would say I consider when I really got saved is in June of 1998. I was 17. So that'll tell you how old I am. And we had a youth revival. I remember pulling into the youth revival, thinking I was saved, didn't know any difference whatsoever. And in those services, me and a bunch of the people that I do ministry with, we really, really met the Lord there. And we've served the Lord ever since.
Praise God.
Amen.
The question is, how did you get into ministry, or how did you feel called to serve God?
So for me, I felt the call. I was just talking about how that true conversion moment, my preteen years at the Church of God youth camp, I felt that call. And like a lot of people, early on in their Christian walk, you know, I decided that was just too much, you know, call it fear, call it just not being sure. And I ran for a long time. You know, I was just too busy being about my own life. And, you know, teen years took over and wanting to learn, you know, get on the work truck and get my own truck and get moving. So I ran from that call for a good while. It wasn't until I was about 19, I got an opportunity to go and spend time at a Bible college in Tennessee. It was Lee University. And part of the agreement with going there was I was joining a ministry team, and there'd be classes throughout the week and ministry opportunities on the weekend. And this was for 6 straight months. And right away, I knew this is everything the Lord spoke to me when I was, you know, 12 or 13 years old, coming to life. Amen. And it was 6 months of total ministry immersion, week in and week out, learning, studying the gospel, studying his word, studying, you know, how to approach ministry, and then applying it on the weekends. We went from all over the country, as far west as Texas, all the way up to, you know, Maine and down to Florida and everywhere in between. Well, every weekend, man, we were in different churches. And so that was almost like, it was like a countdown in my life for, you know, from 13 to 19, you know, 6 years of a countdown. And all of a sudden the Lord, I'm on that, you know, launch pad of ministry, and he just sent me right into the stratosphere. And after that, that was also along the same timeline as when I actually met my wife, and which kind of leads into the next part too, but that was all hand in hand. God knew exactly what he was doing when he put me in that vein and put me in that motion.
Amen. 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 So, Teresa, same question.
For me, Jack went to a big church. Mm-hmm. I come from a small church. So once we got saved, and all, you know, on fire for God, it was really, for me, it was neat. So when you have a small church, you need to clean the church. You need to do children's church. You could be asked to preach. You could be asked to preach the service. you never know what you're going to have to do that day. So it's like a pretty good boot camp, to be honest with you.
Cook, clean, nursery, everything.
Yep. Whatever needs done that day. So for me, I would say it was more, when I was thinking about this, I was really thinking about that. It was just more need. When I ended up getting married to Jack, and I moved down where he was to his big church, it was like you were lost. You're like, what do you mean I'm not going to get an opportunity to preach at this service? Mm-hmm. But for worship, being called and leading worship, once again the same thing. So I was leading worship with the girl band, as what everybody calls it, called to worship. But how we ended up becoming a band was we had ladies retreat repeatedly. Like every year we'd have a ladies retreat and there would be no worship, only would be like one person, no whole band, because half of the musicians were men and they weren't invited to the ladies retreat. So we were like, well, there's a need, let's make a band, you know? And the Lord just used us and band us together. And I was also meditate, not that I was like one of the first places we traveled. Jesse didn't get to go, but one of the first places we traveled was Phoenix right after we, it wasn't our own home church. And there was a ladies retreat out there, and Aunt Mary Mullen loaded us all of us girls up to go out there. And I think we ended up getting to use out there. So that was, I was Amen. Funny how the Lord does
that. That was stuff. A good time. I remember
Amen.
That.
Amen.
We really enjoyed you. And you know, I'd like to say in a personal note, both of your ministries separately and now together
have always been a tremendous blessing to me. I really, really enjoy it. And, you know, people can be talented and sound wonderful, or people can be not talented, but full of the Holy Spirit, and they're wonderful. But you guys are God-given, but I know you want to give them the glory, but you guys are talented and filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous ministry. Every time I go through to the convention and see your turn up, and I love all the ones that sing, but I really get excited because I really enjoy it. It's a
real we love you guys. So Jack and you and Charlie, we love ministering with you guys.
How important do you think having your wife or your husband support you in the ministry is?
I would say 100%. You know, ministry without partnership is a very lonely road. And for me, we got married and it was instantaneous. You know, she was talking about just now about her ministry with the girl band and everything. And then you got me coming out of the Bible college. And I grew up in a bigger church where, you know, from the age of 12 on, when I first felt that initial tug, you know, I had opportunities to play in the band and I grew up, you know, and on the drums and everything. Well, by the time we get married, I'm a full worship leader at the church with the youth group. And, you know, she just jumped right in and was immediately part of our team. And we just started to, I feel like God used those moments of us being part of, you know, a bigger church with a large band and a large praise team, and those opportunities to travel was God setting us up for what he was going to then remove us and move us on in life together, you know, on our own road.
Amen.
And so without two things, without her with me, using her discernment and guidance and direction with the Holy Spirit and us, you know, reflecting off of each other in conjunction with also a team of support that was constantly pouring into us as a married couple, you know, those two things work hand in hand, the church and a young, you know, couple ministering together. Yeah. So, you know, having a wife, you know, and a spouse that's supporting you and on your team, and the added benefit of the fact that we're both in the same type of ministry was just monumental in my own life, for sure.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, Uncle Bill?
Okay, here's number four. Whatever you want to say, just say and share with us. Who was an influence for you, and what standout moments is in your life?
The one standout moment for me, it kind of goes off of that same, that third question about, you know, being in ministry together.
Amen.
And it's coincidence that this year, 2024, is the 10-year anniversary of the Can't Be Hid Revival, youth revival here in Wilmington, Delaware, where the Lord poured out his spirit and a revival broke loose for, amen, I believe, almost 3 weeks of night after night after night coming together. Well, we came up, at the time we did not live in Delaware. We lived in the Carolinas, and we came up, believe it or not, we were actually planning on going on vacation. We were going to drop our children off with my sister-in-law and come to the revival for a night or two before we left town for a week. Well, it was Jimmy Townsley came to me, and like they do, they, you know, they ask you to do a special, and we go home that afternoon getting ready for the service, and I'm in my mother-in-law's house, and we're sitting at the piano, and we're going through our song list, our set list that we have been on for that year using songs. Amen. And the Lord was pushing me in the direction of a song in particular. The name of the song was Finally Found Where I Belong. And she's looking at me, and she told me afterwards that she thought I was nuts for using this one particular song. It's kind of wordy.
Amen.
and she thought that no one's going to get it, and she didn't play it to me. And we went through our whole set list, you know, four or five different songs, and I kept being drawn back to this one song over and over and over. I told her, I really feel like we got to use this song. And the Lord's not letting me get off this thing, you know? And I actually today read a scripture reminded me of that moment, and it's Romans 8:5. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit was, I never felt it so strong in my life before. or since then, where the Holy Spirit was like, this is the song, give me very clear instructions. We get up, long story short, we sing this song in the service. And the service had kind of gone on for a while. They hadn't even really gotten to the worship yet. It was a bunch of specials. And so I really didn't want to drag it on. I was just going to sing it and be done and let it go. We sing the song. Benny Bennett and Ellen were leading worship that night. I turns to look at Benny like I'm handing it back to him. And he is prostrate on his face on the platform.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit broke loose out of this. There was nothing that we did. It was purely out of obedience to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord took this song that no one had even heard before. And a lot of people have told me, didn't understand the words at first, but the Holy Spirit took what he wanted to use and transformed hundreds of lives out of that revival.
Wow.
And just absolutely, it gives me chills to this day. And again, that the Spirit of God would choose us in that moment as a team. Everything for the first 9 years of our marriage with ministry led right to that moment. Oh, everything we talked about tonight led right to that moment.
That calls for a hallelujah, brother.
I agree. God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Okay, guys. What's your vision for the future of our people?
The vision that I see for our people, you know, my entire life, I have been attached and drawn to the youth. Mm-hmm. Whether I was in the youth, trying to birth a ministry in, you know, the youth department or the youth, you know, services. And even still, the more I grow on in life, I keep coming full circle back to always being drawn to the youth. I feel the vision for our people is that our youth have to get a hold of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Number one,
Amen.
Our youth across the entire generation need that radical encounter, that can't be hidden moment where they turn from the world and run to Christ and abandon everything else.
Amen.
And part of that too is us as now maturing and older ministers have to look at these young people. We've identified this in our own church here, you know, with all the other youth leaders, and, you know, Henry and Liz Evans and Pete and Mary Forrest working together hand in hand. We've identified that there are kids that are being called and being set aside in our church and in our organization. And now is the time to disciple them. To take them one-on-one or in small groups and get them and help them hone in the things that God's called them to do, which, you know, my favorite scripture that I've literally based my entire life on is 1 Corinthians 9:19. And Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And whatever we got to do to be what these kids need, we've got to get on their level to push them into the future, because that is the future for our people, is our youth.
Amen, yes.
Amen.
Praise Amen. God.
I'm going to hand it over to Teresa.
Okay.
That was another hallelujah.
Yeah. Just echoing Jack on that, I would say it probably sums it up in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus says to them before he ascends back up, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And I just think, really, for everything. I mean, Jack is a drummer, and he's trying to raise up drummers. You know, like he said, we're back helping with the youth. We have youth in our house. I would say for me, my kids, my own person starts in my house, you know, being a wife and a mom, but it starts in my house. My first priority is making disciples in my house. Of my own kids, but then hoping that it goes on, you know, so that when, if the Lord tarries and, you know, and we're here for a while, that they are ready when it's their turn for everything, for ministering and worship and raising up the next generation after them, if the Lord tarries. So I would say would be our vision.
Amen.
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 I can identify with the youth, and we have a bunch of younger women and young men now that do the music, and for a lot of years with our gang, it seemed like I was always doing the music, and I had prayed for so long, Lord, send his band, send his kids, and I'm hoping and praying that somehow my little way, because I'm not very talented, but that I mentored them into, thinking, well, you know, if she can get up and do that, we can too. And I have to say, God sent us some fabulous music in our church. I just, every one after the other that gets up blesses me. So if that's close to my heart, I can identify with what you're saying, because they are our future, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up the Crosstalk experience. So before we wrap up, anything laid in your heart that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. You know, just sitting here and listening to the Holy Spirit speak right here in this moment, seeing what you have done, and you, everybody out there in New Life in Arizona with this podcast. You know, I believe it was the fall convention this past year, Anime. We were having lunch on like a Saturday, I believe. And you came to me and was talking to me about the podcast. And I was blown away. I was like, we have travelers who are doing their own podcasts now.
Amen.
And just now I'm thinking about that. And I want to encourage young people, old people, doesn't matter. If you're a new Christian, if you've been a Christian for years, if you been in ministry for years, if you're just starting out, there's no calling that's too big for God.
Amen.
There's no idea. There's no type of a ministry opportunity that's too big for God to handle. If he puts it in your heart, he will make a way. We have to take the first step and move. We have to actually move forward and step on faith and do these things. I mean, look at travelers like Uncle Ham. Uncle Ham, mm-hmm. who stepped out in faith, went to Assemblies of God pastor, and years later, we have multiple churches across an entire nation, a full traveler rummage sale organization that he started just one day, but he followed out the Lord's calling. Look at Brother Renee over in the old country. Hundreds of churches, hundreds Amen. Of different mm-hmm. languages Amen. Spoken. Yes, God. And all he does is day after day is move forward. But where did that start? He didn't just one day wake up and got handed the deeds and paperwork and keys to a bunch of church buildings. He had to start somewhere. So Amen. If you think that what you want to do is too big, you got to look at the bigger picture. God is in control. There's the old song. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Whatever he wants to do with you and your ministry, he can do it, but you have to start walking forward.
Amen. Amen. You know something, Jack, and I'm only going to say this only because it goes with what you're saying, in case there's some young people listening, because I don't really like to talk about different things that I had done for the Lord. But when I was a kid, God laid it on my heart to buy a guitar, and I give me poems, and they turned into songs and so forth, and I didn't have nobody to teach me. Nobody we know done that. It was unheard of for me. Now, I'm sure there was people, but my circle where I lived, I'd never seen no one do that, and I felt it in my heart. And I stepped out in faith. We had no Amen. Church or nothing.
Yep.
And I had a dream. God showed me standing on a stage in a church singing, people behind me with music like that I'd never heard before. Mm. And maybe, 25 years later or 20, I'm not sure how many years later, I'm on a stage at our church singing, and people, and it come back, it flooded back like a dream. And now today we have a church and we have other people doing it. But don't be scared what I'm trying to say about what people yeah. may say, because when I bought my first guitar, I had people make fun of me, and I actually took it back to the store. It wasn't even out of the box yet.
Oh, wow.
Right. And then a couple years later, I took sick and couldn't talk for a week or so, and I prayed to God and said, if you restore my voice, Lord, I'm, you know, throwing my fleece out. I guess I was 17. I'm not sure. Mm. I'll buy the guitar and sing. And I woke up the next morning and could speak. And I knew that was wow. from the Lord. And so wow. what I'm trying to say is, if something looks ridiculous, silly to you, or if people make a fool out of you doing it, do it all the harder, because they don't make a fool That's out right. of what the enemy wants you to do. They only make, and you know what? We serve a God. If he could take me and get me where I was passable on a guitar, just looking at a chord book, I've never took a lesson in my life. I can't read music. And God can use me for that brief time that he used me. He could use anybody, amen, anyone. Amen. So never be discouraged to the young people.
Never be discouraged.
Do amen. It all the harder because your dream is nothing like the dream God has for you.
Amen.
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 You know, the first time I ever auditioned to play the drums in a youth band in the Church of God I grew up in, I was so bad that they didn't have the heart to tell me no. They actually bought me a set of bongo drums and set me over in the corner where I would make a lot of noise. And I was just happy to have the opportunity just to get a chance.
Right.
But taking that step of boldness, and not just that, but yes, there are moments of discouragement. Sure. Yes, there are going to be setbacks. But if you will overcome that, if you will push into God, his word, and the Holy Spirit,
amen,
you are going to look back 10, 15, 20 years from now and say, look how far God has brought me, and it only took one step at a time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, praise Jack, just for people listening in, I'm sure there's been times that you've got up, you've prayed, you've fasted, you and your wife, get all prepared, and done a song service, and you just felt like you missed it, or you felt like you made mistakes, or whatever. And people need to know, they look at you now, they look at you and her, you get up and do a fabulous song service, but they need to know there was all them times of pressing in, and all them times of where it's not perfect, or where you wasn't feeling good, or whatever the case may be. I don't know what your situation was. I'm thinking of myself.
It doesn't go away. Those moments don't go away. That's year after year after year. I tell my wife, she could tell you countless times I come through the door after a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service, and I say, I never want to lead worship again. I never want to preach again. And then turn around, and all of a sudden, those are the moments where you get the biggest testimonies come back and say, you don't know what the Lord did in that moment.
Right.
And you can't. You think that, yes, God is fighting on our behalf. God is with us. He's working through us. Amen. But you know what else is happening in the spiritual? Amen. Is the enemy's fighting his tooth and nail against you in that same moment. Amen. So you come off the platform, and you know who's waiting for you to discourage you is the enemy. You've got to push past that, because in ministry, you can ask Uncle Ham and anyone else, like I just said, you know, you guys, pastors for years, the discouraging moments are always there, but when you push past those moments, those are the biggest rewards.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Biggest hurdles to overcome in ministry.
Amen. Sometimes the discouraging moments are the defining moments, you know?
I could not have said it any better. Bingo.
Well, I got to tell you guys, we really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on and share with us. And I know your testimony is going to bless many people.
Amen.
Amen.
We just want to thank you so much. Yep.
Yes, thank you, guys.
We're honored. We're honored. Thank you so much.
We are, too. And we love yous, and God bless you. And
love you, too.
Lord willing, we'll see you guys soon.
Amen.
Sounds like a plan.
It's a plan.
Amen.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.